you give the Lord a round of applause? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just sing that song, Holy Spirit, rain down.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, oh, how I need Your touch again.
Happy to be here. opening of the Word, Lord, is continually growing, God. And we just thank you so much for that, God, Lord. We put so much trust and faith, God, into this Word, Lord. And knowing you wrote it, God, and only a very elected people can even hear it, God, and see it, Lord Jesus, Lord. And Lord, the only way to even do that, Lord, is if you had chosen them before the foundation of the world, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we believe each one here, God, was chosen, Lord, to be your bride, God,
yes,
Lord. Just want to, Lord, with rule and reign with you, Lord, for a thousand years, God, Lord, as soon as we're done with this little bit of season of suffering here, God,
yes,
Lord.
And
we're just going to take it day by day, God, Lord. And Lord, we want to be counted worthy like Enoch, Lord, as we walked with you, Lord, every day, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. And Lord, Lord, if there's anything on someone's heart, God, Lord, just the need, God, just, Lord, just have your will there in their lives, Lord. Any sick, Lord, or afflicted, God, Lord, we just lift up that power in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, we just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And Lord, just be with our pastor as he brings the word, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You know, just sing that song, I Love Him Better Every Day, amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day.
Sing that again.
Oh, yes, now I love him better every day.
Forget too, we have a birthday today, amen. It's Sister Ashley's birthday, amen. So let's just give her a round of applause, amen. And she's 18 now, so amen. Praise God for 18 years, amen. Amen. Well, just sing that again, amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor, sing that song again, I love him better every day. Amen. How many can say that with an upraised hand? You love him better every day. You don't know why he loves you so much, but he loves you more every day. Amen.
And I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Oh, and I, every day.
Better every day, and close by it. Oh yes,
tricky here.
Now I love him better every day.
Sing that again.
Oh, yes, I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Oh, close by is SID. I will ABID. I love him better.
Amen. One more time. I love him better.
Oh, and
amen. Just sing that song, I shall not be moved. Amen. How many are going to say that today? Amen. Right by the waters. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. I'm in his love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. Just
joy shall never end. I'll fly. Hallelujah, Lord. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Something in my heart like a stream running down. It makes me feel so happy, amen.
Amen.
How many are happy tonight, amen? Amen. Something in my heart like a stream running down makes me feel so happy as can be. 'Cause when I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, there's something more than something in my heart. Oh, now something in my heart, like a stream running. It makes me feel so happy as can be. 'Cause when I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, gives me something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more. Sing, oh yes, well, oh yes, well, oh yes, yes, there's something more than gold, oh yes, oh yes, yes, there's something more than gold, it's in my soul, yes, there's something more. One more time, something in my heart. Well, something in my heart, like a stream running down. It makes me feel so happy as... Oh, 'cause when I think of Jesus and what he's done for me, gives me something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more. Yes, there's something more than gold. Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Yes, there's something more than gold in my soul. Yes, there's something more. Say one more time. Oh, yes. Well, oh, yeah.
Right, we'll be all right then. Amen. It's not a good start when you already threw your microphone off before you even got to the platform and you left your foam on the floor over here. We have found the lost sheep. Thank God. Amen. We're going to jump into the Word this evening. Amen. You see, all I was able to make it out. I did something rare tonight. I did not bring a suit coat down. I was sweating as it is. And I decided I didn't want to deal with that. So I had to leave one of the creeds behind. Just allow God to have his way. Amen? Amen. Nothing says I got to wear a suit coat up here. Thank God. So anyway, this evening it's good to be in the house of God. We love God with all our heart. How many are looking forward to hearing from God? Amen. Amen. I always find it very interesting. It seems like a lot of times our best services are on Wednesday nights, and it's always kind of seems interesting to me that seems like God always seems to meet us there. I don't know if all of us are just so tired, God just wants to take care of us a little more special and show us he loves us, or or what God would be doing there. But anyway, you see it, I don't care if God comes on Wednesday or Sunday, or as long as I got him every day, amen? But it's nice to see what God does, amen? This evening, we want to move to a few portions of Scripture. We'd like to go to Matthew 17, 1, and after that, we're going to go to Luke 17, 20. I have just a little thought this evening I'd like to bring out to you by God's grace, amen? And I'd like to see what the Lord would like to say to you. Preached on this a little bit before, but seen something I wanted to run a different direction by the grace of God, actually make maybe just make it a little bit more accessible to our revelation, amen? If God would will, and he could take it wherever way he wants, amen? But anyway, this evening, Matthew 17, 1 says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Now notice there, it does not say what mountain he was called to. It says, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Amen. We'll stop right there. Let's go to Luke 17, 20. I worked really hard today. I was working so hard at work, my shirt was soaked all the way down to my pants, and those are half soaked too. It was a nice day to be working, amen? But you know, I worked for the world now. It's time to work for God, amen?
Amen.
So if we get a soaked shirt tonight, that'd be all right. But I would sure like to have that on if I could get that on. Amen? Luke 17:20. Took my chandeliers away. Don't take my fans away. Luke 17:20, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, which means you cannot see this kingdom, amen. But in the 21st verse, it says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be drawn by your presence to this church this evening, God, as we realize, God, it is a privilege and an honor to be called bride in this day, O God. And Lord, as I find it more amazing, Lord, so much in your word, O God, points to this day, points to what you do, points to who you are, God, points to who we are, God. It just seems like, God, it's just a special message, Lord, for the word and his bride. And God, we want to take full privilege, O God, of this this opportunity that you've given us, God, and just allow us just to go into your word tonight, God, and make it plain for us to maybe show us a thing or so and just really give us a little, maybe a little viewpoint, God, and where we're at, God, where we're seated in time, God, as we realize that, God, soon time will not exist as we know it, God. It'll be a little different, but, God, we're all looking forward to that day, God. Lord, we understand there's things to come, God. We want to be ready for those things, God. Lord, I just pray you just help us, Lord. There's many things that we have to accomplish. There's many things, oh, God, that we just like to be ready for, know we're ready for, and God, and just be, oh God, so close to you, God, that Lord, it would be no big change, oh God, something that we're looking for, but the change had already, oh God, evolved to such a place that we wouldn't even see ourselves anymore, God. We just ask God tonight, Lord, be with your children, be with your bride, God. We have need of thee, Lord. Move us all aside. Forgive me if I've done wrong, God. If I've missed something, Lord, forgive me, God. Forgive the church if they've done something wrong, Lord. May we move right into the presence of the Holy Ghost unveiling himself to his children, Lord. Oh, God, this is our little love time, God. Come and love on us a little bit, God. We have need of thee this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're going to be working again this evening with kind of what we were preaching on last Sunday by the grace of God as we moved into what I would like to call, if I could, I'd like to call it some of the most inspired portions of the church age book that we can look at is when the Spirit of God told Brother Branham to pick up his pen and write, and that was to give us a special message, amen? And we understand that that message was concerning the Word and the Bride, amen? We understand also that this covers approximately, if you want to throw that quote in there, 6 pages. But it also, if you'd like to limit it from the initial quote to pick your pen and write up to the end of the chapter, which is about 5 pages, amen? So just to maybe move into a little, I would say a little bit more of a thought into this evening, if God would be so pleased. I'd like to run a few things by your ears, and like I said, I would like to run some things by your ears, but I would be very pleased if the Holy Ghost would run something by your ears, amen? So not anything that I would like to say or be a part of, but I would just like to say I'm here and I'd allow the Holy Ghost to show me something, amen? So this evening, if we had to, I'd like to start out with that quote that I read, and it's in 170-4 Pergamene Church Age book. It says, "One night as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. As I grasped the pen to write, His Spirit gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the Word and the Bride." Amen? Aren't you glad that you're the Bride? You know, you think of a lot of things that you'd rather be today, but by the grace of God, wouldn't it just be nice to be the Bride that looks exactly like the Word? Amen? We're moving into those type of categories right now as we find God just little by little tearing things out of our lives, little by little drawing the loves and the attentions that we have and trying to prioritize the things that are within our mind and allow those things to focus on the Word itself. Amen? So that in looking at the Word, we might become the Word, right? So much so that people would be able to see Jesus Christ all over us in so much of a way that it would be indisputable. It would not be arguably, amen? I find it interesting, you know, as I've even looked the other day and we had this video thing or whatever it was about the Bible, and they sell you videos and they talk about the King James Bible, and they say that it was arguably the greatest English book that was ever produced. And I don't know who's arguing that. I don't think there's an argument there. But as I would like to say, I think it's pretty obvious to see when you're sitting as the Bride that the King James Bible is the most inspired book that has ever come forth from God. Amen. It so approximates the Dead Sea Scrolls and all these other things that it is beyond just a carnal mindset, but just to show that God is in His Word, He is unchanging, and He is a God that is not arguably real, He is a God that is absolutely real, amen? And He is absolutely known to His people if they would absolutely want to know Him, hallelujah. So in moving in tonight, I'd like to move into this thought called the way of preparation, okay? And if God would give us the ability, we'd like to set a few things within the Scripture and just show you how perfect God is, amen? But I'd just like to show you here, this has to do with the Word and the Bride, okay? We understand by the grace of God that in looking at the way of preparation, there is something that God wants you to see, right? Before God does anything, the Scripture says in Amos 3:7 that He would do nothing except He would first show it to His servants, the prophets, amen? And God would allow those prophets to come on the scene, and they would just speak to you, right? They might not come in a way you like them, as we realize that all through the Old Testament, they would kill them, right? But by the grace of God, we ain't looking at killing any prophet. We are looking to receive the Word, amen? Amen. We know people today that can hear from God. And when they hear for God in my favor, I'm all about it. Amen. Often after I hear something, they say, "God, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that." Amen. Just show me a little bit more. Why? Because the human mind desires to know God's mind. Amen. And any time that you can personally hear from the mind of God, it is something that excites and moves you into action. Amen. Now, I don't know just saying something here, but I know some of the more times that I felt so compelled to go pray or to go and do something for God is when I see God say something about me.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Sometimes in my life, it's been when people have said a prophecy about me, or even sometimes when God reveals the word to me.
Amen.
And it just really stirs you up, and it wants to make you move, right? And you just can't help it, because it's something what to you? It's a revelation to you. And when more is revealed about who you are, it what? It moves you into a place that you want to do something about what you are. Amen? Because when that says you're the Word, you want to act like the Word. If you're feeling like a goat, you really don't want to act like the Word, do you? Something inside of you never gets away from it. But by the grace of God, some of the most important times of your life that you'll even, amazingly, you call it a mountaintop, is when God gives you revelation. There's a couple that got a little revelation, huh? Boy. Well, just think about it. What happened to Peter? When God gave him the keys. Said, heaven and gates shall not prevail against you. He received what? You think he just sat on that? He moved. That's why you see that the disciples, they are arguing about who is the greatest, or arguing against what? Against the man that was doing something like they were doing for the kingdom. They wanted to do something for God. And don't worry, by the grace of God, maybe we'll get to that Sunday if God reveals it, but we're supposed to have a visiting minister. I don't know if he's coming yet, but anyway, we'll see about that. It's not on the calendar. So anyway, looking at the way of preparation, and like I said, I want to move into this thought this evening very carefully, as you have heard the scriptures that have been read to you in the opening here, but we're going to take this in a little direction by God's grace, working with a little something. But brother, I'd like to move next, if we could, into 174-2 in the Church Age book. We have a little reading to do here, and I don't want to fully go into everything I don't fully understand, but I want to just give you what the Word says about things and just show you how great God is. Now notice it says here, he has to be for that history repeating itself from the time of Ahab. Israel's history under Ahab is happening right here in America, where the prophet of Malachi appears. So notice first we see, of course, that the prophecy of another Ahab, it begins in America, and we see at that time that the fulfillment of Malachi would come forth from this. We say, okay, that's elementary. Well, praise God. You're doing all right then. But notice here it says, as Israel left Egypt in worship, in freedom, pushed out the natives, raised up a nation with great leaders like David, etc., and then put an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct, so we have done the very same in America. Our forefathers left this land to worship and live in freedom. They pushed back the narratives and took over the land. I said narratives, natives. Sometimes I'd like to push aside a couple narratives. But notice it says, mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up, but after a while, other men of such poor caliber succeeded these worthy men that soon an Ahab was set in the presidential chair with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. It is at such a time as this that the messenger of Malachi must come. So what is the sign that the... Now, you realize I'm reading this out of the message that was given to the bride.
Amen.
About the Word and the bride.
Amen.
Okay? So notice what this is. This is talking directly to you.
Amen.
All right? So notice this. So the prophet this messenger of Malachi would have to come when there'd be an Ahab in office. You know what I like about this whole thing so far? It says you started with Washingtons and Lincolns and then ended up with presidents with such poor caliber. I don't mean no harm. But when you're lying constantly, everything out of your mouth is a lie.
Yeah, right.
That is poor caliber.
Amen.
Do I need to go much farther than that? Because you know what? They're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
But you don't have to lie about it. Just do it.
Amen.
I know you don't like guns. I got that figured out. I know you don't. I know you don't like Christians. That's all right. Don't act like you're one. You know what? If you want to be a non-Christian, be one. But don't tarnish the image that I'm trying to allow to rule my life by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You ain't running out the doors yet, are you? So notice this, and this is kind of where we're going tonight. It says, have I said enough about poor caliber? It says, then in the latter rain will come a Mount Carmel showdown. So notice, first the messenger would have to come. The messenger of Malachi 4, he would have to come, and then what? Then it says, so next after that would have to come a latter rain, okay? Okay? So notice how he completes this. He says, watch this carefully now to see it in the Word. Now that's what we're interested in tonight. He said, okay, if you want to say this, it has to come back to the Word of God. Well, isn't that important? We lay our whole foundation is set in the Word of God. Don't bring nothing if it ain't in the Word of God. Isn't that your main argument against the denominational theory? Show me it in the Word. So now we're get brought into the mind of God speaking to a prophet, and he says it's going to be like this. Look and find it in the Word. That's what I read when I say that. He said it's right in the Word. Well, who's it right in the Word for? Them back there? Or us right here? Whoever is interested in that. He said, look at it. Why do you need to look at it? Because it's there for a reason. Why? You can see that God would have to send a prophet to stand against the poor caliber president. I listened on the way here, or actually not on the way here, but at home. And when I was studying this thing, I hear the prophet talking about them men. He said with that shaggy hair and just tearing them apart. And he said, just like Jacqueline Kennedy. So every time we want to grow our hair nice and shaggy and long, brothers, I know it's a big temptation. You know what you're doing? You're acting like the first Jezebel of America. Praise God. So notice here, and moving on, as we get more quiet and quiet, we find that he planted the former rain. Who planted the former rain? Now notice it said John was the forerunner of Malachi 3. Okay? It says he planted the former rain. So the scripture, this quote is saying that by the word of God, that you will find that there's a former rain coming from John the Baptist.
Amen.
And the former rain is what? It is the word mora, which means, the Hebrew word mora, which means a teaching rain.
Amen.
Okay? So notice who did that? John the Baptist did that. And notice, continuing, it says, he planted the former rain and was rejected by the organizations of his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. Okay, so what? So John saw the former rain.
Amen.
Which what? Which literally brought forth what? A teaching to the people, a preparation. And then Jesus come and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. Which means what? We see the change from former rain into a latter rain. Because Jesus was the Word Himself.
Amen.
Which is why the showdown for Jesus was transfiguration. And we'll get to that after a while.
Amen.
But notice here in finishing, he says, now the second forerunner of Christ will sow for the latter rain. So he'll sow for it. He will not preach or become that latter rain, it says. It says he literally will what? He'll sow for it, so he will put forth a former rain.
Yeah. Right.
Okay?
Amen.
And then it says Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds. Who will be the showdown?
Amen.
Second forerunner. Forerunner what? Now, look at the first forerunner, John the Baptist. We know he stood against organizations. What did the latter rain of that do? It come forth as the Word in the same frequency. And what? It went after the same message that the forerunner set down. But before, what? To fulfill the ending of the covenant and bring in grace, he had to die as the Word. And now we see that in the second forerunner, when this is planted, the former rain planted, we now see that it'll be Jesus will be the showdown. Now it doesn't say a return ministry. It doesn't say that there'll be an eighth messenger. It just says that Jesus will be the showdown between denominations and creeds. For he will come to back up his word and take his bride in the rapture.
Amen.
Now, I completely, there is so much in here that, and there's so many ways you can run it, that is absolutely amazing to me how you can do that. I don't get it. When I look at the three showdowns, he didn't fully go into them. But he said, first Mount Carmel, second Mount Transfiguration, and third Mount Zion. Well, I see how you can run that from back there to here, and I see how you can do that in this day here.
Yeah. Amen.
Which one is it? I don't know.
Amen.
We'll find out someday.
Amen.
But notice, in looking at this, I want to stop very quickly here. Now, in the Church Age book again, brother, 174-1, yes, I'm going somewhere, just hold on. He said, now I want you to be very careful, 174-1, brother. He says, now I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time, Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. It has to be, for it is the Spirit-quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time. By the time Jesus comes, all scriptures must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age. When the messenger of Malachi comes, he will be right with the word. He will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now notice, he will start at serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. So now it says that the prophet himself, he will straight line the word of God and he'll carry on to the messenger of the latter rain. But it does not say he will be the messenger of the latter rain. Because we just found in the other quote, it said Jesus Christ himself will come and back up his word. So who is the last messenger getting ready to make himself known? Not an eighth messenger. He is the original messenger, the same messenger we've always had, and he is the one who's going to make himself known.
Amen.
But how could he do this? Very simply, because remember, he is the capstone, and the capstone comes onto the body. So the body has the mind of the capstone. And what looks just like the capstone? Remember the quote we read on Sunday is that you will, as we near this, you will look more and more in his image.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
You're going to look just like Jesus Christ. Starting to look like Jesus Christ already, aren't we? Now notice this, and like I said, I'm working with something here, but I want to just lay this in here a little bit with a couple more quotes, and then I'm gonna run, okay? But notice here, let me see which one I want to read here. God help me. Make sure I read the right one for you. Spoken Words Original Seed 62, 125-4, brother. I'm going to move into the second paragraph. No, I'm going to read part of the first one. It says, there's much could be said, but surely the Holy Spirit by this time has sunk it so deep into you that you know what I'm talking about. We're at the end time. The seeds are sown. The latter rain is fixing to come forth. Remember, there will be such a denominational gathering pretty soon. It'll be terrific. And they will bring themselves together into this federation of churches. And then this kind of church will be put out of operation as far as they know. That's my favorite part of that whole line. Will be put out of commission as far as they know. Doesn't sound like they're going to know a lot. But notice this. It says, it's at that time that Jesus will appear. And he will show which is bride and which is not.
Amen.
So now look, we're talking about this messenger again. And we find out that when this spirit begins to fall down again, which is exactly what I'm looking for. And I pray that you're looking for too. Because we need a boost, amen. We need a double dose of the Holy Ghost. We need something to fight the devil more with, amen. We have found and have had it shown to us that we are absolutely nothing in Laodicea without more God.
Amen.
We're just pushing around the grind mill, just like Samson did. Push around, hope I get victory. Hope I see God move. Hope I do this. God, who am I? But don't worry, it's coming. Well, wait a minute. Jesus will appear and show who's who and who's not. I'm looking forward to that. I've staked my whole Christian experience on it. I've talked like I've received the Holy Ghost. I've done my best to show the Holy Ghost. I've done my best to have the Holy Ghost open His Word to me. When the Holy Ghost says something over the pulpit, whether I'm preaching or not, I try to hold on to it.
Amen.
I want that nugget to stay right in me because I know it's a revelation from Him and I need
Amen.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trying to show who you are. Open my eyes up, God. Once more, God. So notice one more, 127 dash. Let me read this real quick for you. 127-3. I'm going to read halfway into this quote. God tells him, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. He says, I love it. I love God's children everywhere. I don't know where he's going to lead me. I don't know. I'm waiting. I've been waiting for a year. I may wait for 2 years. I may wait for three. I don't know. I don't know the next move. I'm waiting for it. But I think according to Scripture, the word's been sowed.
Amen.
So now he's saying that he sowed the word. But he said, I think, because we know the seals had to be open. But notice what he says. The word's been sowed. The next thing is the coming forth of the Spirit. Now, what is that saying exactly? That's saying that he literally thought since the word was sowed, the people received it, and God was going to quicken the revelation and what? Bring forth Jesus Christ afresh. That's what that's saying.
Amen.
He literally thought, okay, here it is. But what he didn't know the seals had to be revealed. He didn't know there was marriage and divorce. He didn't know all these things had to come forth yet.
Right. Amen.
But he said, okay, the messenger has planted. So now the next thing I see is the Spirit falling.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means when the church catches a revelation of this word, it means the Spirit's going to fall. So what was it? He was showing the sign of the former rain. He was planting. Now, one more. Next paragraph down, 127-4 says, Billy Graham may preach ever, or Robertson, godly man may preach ever. The Lord may send me to sow seed somewhere else, some field. But I believe our nation is sowed down. I believe she's ready for the harvest now. Notice, when the Spirit falls, and there becomes a move amongst the people. Okay? He's talking about the Spirit falling again. When the move comes amongst them, I'm looking for a move.
Yeah.
I still have not seen the move I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Them denominations will swing together just as certain as I'm standing in the pulpit, and the church will be ousted, and they'll make it such a racket until they'll confederate it and put a boycott on anyone that don't belong to them. Rome will rule the world just for an hour. She'll rule for a little peace. Not communism. Romanism will rule the world with a cooperation of Protestantism in a denominational form of the church, which God has rejected. Okay? Now, he says here in another quote, he says the second forerunner will probably do the same. He's talking about John the Baptist. He said the second forerunner will probably do the same thing by pointing the people to a word-born bride.
Amen.
Do I need to read that? Let me read that to you so you understand. 125-3, spoken words are received. He says, as the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe, as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, behold the Lamb of God. The second forerunner will probably do the same thing by pointing the people to a word-born bride.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Where is the word coming?
Come on.
Where is the word made flesh? Notice what the prophet says. He says what? He says that the second forerunner will point the people to a word-born bride. So notice, the word is there, but it is a word-born bride. So he's talking about a Messiah yet. So it will point not to Jesus coming here that we can all look at him and follow him and do that, but there will be a bride that is born of that word, that Jesus Christ, and they will look just like him. And the second forerunner points to him.
Yeah.
Points to who? Points to the Jesus Christ that's in you. Who is the Word born bride? It doesn't say the Word born preacher. It says the Word born bride. Amen. That's why God could show, even like Sister Wendy, that she could point someone to the Word. Amen. Why? God didn't send it to the preacher. God sent it to the Word born bride. Hallelujah. The preparation was made. Now, you ready to move now? You see what this is? A couple more, then I'm going to go. I want to get this so, this has to be laid in line. Pergamene Church Age, 175-1. It says, the strange behavior of Moses, Elijah, and John withdrawing from the people into seclusion left many confused. What in the world are they doing? Now notice, we're working with the way of preparation tonight. We've looked and seen what we are. But we have a little bit more of a clue who the second messenger of Malachi was pointing to. Who the messenger would be when the rapture happens. It would be a word-born bride. So notice here, he says a strange behavior left many confused. They did not realize that it was because their messages had been rejected, but the seed had been sown, the planting was over. Okay, so the preparatory prophet would always sow a message that would be rejected, okay? And people didn't understand why they acted the way they are acting, but they're always getting rejected.
Amen.
Why? Because the message that they had was not a popular message. Okay? Now let's finish that off. He said, judgment was next. They had served their purpose as a sign to the people, so judgment was next. Okay? Now, let's move into this very carefully, should God let us here. I want to start in the Bible in Matthew 3, verse 1. Now remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with carefully watching in the Word how God would have to send a messenger who would stand against the leadership. And that messenger standing before the leadership, what? He would be rejected, but in his rejection, he had still sown the word enough to prepare the way. Okay? Now, this is pretty interesting how we start seeing this. In Matthew 3:1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, okay? And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So notice, John the Baptist comes forth and he preaches and says, prepare ye the way, repent. His message was repentance. His message was not the Holy Ghost, but it was leading that way. It would take a word birth, which would require the latter rain word to die. Amen? So now notice here, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is he doing? He is showing you. Now notice, he said, the kingdom of heaven. We opened up this evening showing you that Luke 17:21 says, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And here John the Baptist is ready to introduce the people to the Word himself. And he said, here is the kingdom of heaven coming to you. Well, what were they doing? They are misinterpreting the simple word. So see here, it says, Third verse, Matthew 3:3. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is at hand.
Amen.
Repent. The word is here. Wait a minute. The latter rain messenger is here. Repent. That's what he said. The word coming of Christ is revealed to you right now. Well, what are we talking about now that you start looking at the second messenger? We're seeing that he's pointing to the word-born bride. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. It's coming. It's almost here. For this is what, this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. I want to go into this a little bit tonight. This is very interesting. But you'll find out that the whole point of a preparation messenger is to what? It said, make his path straight. Which is what? Whose path straight? John the Baptist's path straight? But no, the preparation messenger was to set the path straight for the Word. So the Word could perform.
Amen.
Now, let's make some good sense of this tonight. As we see in Isaiah 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Amen.
This is obviously prophesying of John the Baptist. Now here's where things get very interesting. It says in the fourth verse, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So here they are, looking for a messenger. And the scripture says that this man is going to be a bulldozer. He's going to knock mountains down. He's going to level out valleys. He's going to make rough places smooth. But the problem was they did not see the spiritual application of the preparation messenger. Because notice what it says in the interpretation that John the Baptist brought forth. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare a way for him. Make his path straight. That literally, what's straight? Now, what's the shortest distance between two points? Is it going around and up and down and over and over and over? No, that's my driveway. Don't forget the potholes. I need a preparation messenger who prepares driveways. But you see what it is? He literally, this messenger, would make the coming of the word easy.
Amen.
You see that? Now, let me get you on to the commentator, Adam Clark, which is kind of interesting. And it's talking about this passage. And like I said, I find this to be pretty interesting how it comes out and plays. It says, the idea of what were these scriptures that we just read is taken from the practice of Eastern monarchs. Monarchs would be royalty, okay? And it says, who, whenever they entered upon an expedition or took a journey through a desert country, they sent harbingers before them. So they had set these people before them signs that they were coming, okay? So they would go ahead of them and what? Now notice this. It says, it sent the harbingers before them to prepare all things for their passage. So the messenger would what? Because who's royalty? Royalty's not supposed to do the hard job. The messenger or the harbinger, the one who is the sign. What? They're actually the one who sets, prepares everything so that once what the word would come or the royalty would come, is the path would be straight and easy for them. Meaning what? They would do the hard work and the royalty would be able to walk right through it. Hallelujah. So notice they prepared for all things for their passage. And pioneers to open the passes, to level the ways, and to remove all impediments. Could you imagine the harbingers? Those preparing the way. And they'd walk and they see a stone sitting right in the middle of the road. They say, oh, when the king comes, that might be a little bit hard for him. He's royalty. My job is to get rid of the things that make his travel difficult. Let me get that stone out of the way. So he picks up the stone and takes it aside of the way. He says, oh, I better move that a little bit further. So now when royalty comes through, they'll move right through without any problem. Are you having a problem with your walk with God? You are not the preparation. You are the fulfillment of royalty born. So now notice this. It says the officers appointed to superintend such preparations were called by the Latin Stratoris. Didorus' account of the march of Semiramis into Media and Persia will give us a clear notion of the preparation of the way for a royal expedition. So here they found an account from Semiramis, which I believe was out of Egypt. Now they're going to... They're traveling in the olden days, okay? To Media Persia. It says, in her march to Ecbatane, she came to the Zarcean mountain, which extending many furlongs and being full of craggy precipices and deep hollows could not be passed without making a great compass about. Being therefore desirous of leaving an everlasting memorial of herself. Come on, brother. He's talking about a queen. And in the histories it said, wanting to leave a better memorial of her passage. Amen. Notice, as well as shortening the way. Oh, God. Are we preparing, God, or what are we doing here? Shorten the way. It says she ordered the precipices to be digged out and the hollows to be filled up. And at great expense, she made a shorter and more expeditious road, which to this day is called from her. She built a road that would prepare the way as a memorial for her, that would stay as an everlasting sign to the people. Who did that? Did the queen do that? She was given credit for it. Her name went on it. But it was actually what the man or the individuals preparing the way for royalty to go through. Amen. The road is called the road of Semiramis. Afterwards, she went into Persia and all the other countries of Asia subject to her dominion. And wherever she went, she ordered the mountains and the precipices to be leveled, raised causeways in the plain country, and at a great expense made the ways passable. So the whole point of all that, don't look at the prophet. The prophet was the road clear. The prophet leveled the high grounds, just like John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist comes on the scenes and he what? He leveled the playing field so that when Christ come, a message could be sown. What? A message could be brought forth in the supernatural for what it was.
Amen.
And here we see that the whole purpose of this prophecy is shown by ancient royalty. Literally, all the Pharisees and Sadducees had to do was look at how they did things. You know how it is. You watch one of them old movies, you see they got the queen or the king, they're carrying them around. They got four people carrying them around, so all they do is just sit on that throne or whatever, you know, they're almost like they're the Ark of the Covenant themselves. Right? They'd strike them dead too if they failed. But notice the point. The point is preparation. Okay? So notice what this prophet did. The prophet literally made the way for royalty. So what? The royalty could be made known in how she traveled. How she was going forth would be exactly what shown she was the bride.
Amen.
And it was the messenger who did the dirty work. So the bride should be traveling at ease.
Amen.
Or let me say it right. It was done for the word to travel at ease. But the problem is we have to get the word where he belongs.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. I got to figure out this mystery, God, because this is the mystery to make a rapture. I don't need to do that. The preparation's already been made. All I have to do is eat the book. Eat the book and become the book. Now, notice this as we look a little bit further into this. So the whole point of saying, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, was that for the ease of the travel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we find this literally being made known. Now, let me get one more thing to you real quick. Matthew 11:11. I never caught this in this. I don't know why I didn't. But I never caught this in this. Matthew 11:11, it's talking about this preparatory angel, this messenger. And it says, verily I say unto you, says, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding. So what is that saying? We always say, God, there's never been a man like John the Baptist. But finish this off. It says semicolon. It says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What's the kingdom of heaven? Let me say it plainly for you. John the Baptist is the greatest man ever born. But he that is baptized, the least of the Holy Ghost Church, is greater than John the Baptist. So who's greater than John the Baptist? If you've got the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist hasn't even stepped where you stepped.
Come on, brother.
Come on. Hallelujah. He said, I call you no more servants. I call you son. Amen. He was the preparatory messenger. That's what he was. Christ said, he's pretty good. But notice what John the Baptist said. He said, he has come who I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that. And Jesus said, who was he? A reed shaken and wind. He said, there's no man greater born to women than John. Notwithstanding, though, there's coming those that are baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the least one, the preacher is greater than John the Baptist. The missionary is greater than John the Baptist. The least of the Holy Ghost filled bride.
Amen.
Is greater than he. Don't do that. I know how you think. You say, oh God, I'm not greater than John the Baptist. I didn't say you were. The word said you were.
Amen.
Why? Because the angels were preparing the way for the word. And now the word is born in you. Royalty. That's why the prophet could come back and say, you are the royal seed of Abraham. Royalty. The Bible is saying, Revelations 1:5, ye are now kings and priests of the Most High God. Kings, royalty.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
So he said, all you have to do, if you want to see the latter rain, the former rain, you just got to look at John the Baptist. He'll show it to you. It's right in the scripture. So he says, if you want to see this Malachi prophet coming to the White House, look in the Old Testament. John the Baptist comes to Herod. He says, it's unlawful for you to take her.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Prophets going all over the country. That Jezebel. We got an Ahab in there.
Come on, right.
Yeah.
And all he was doing was preparing the way for the word-born bride. Oh, I just get excited now, don't I? Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Notice in Luke 7:29, we see here, so in the 29th verse, it says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. So he said, what? The commoners accepted him gladly. But notice, 30th verse, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Why? He was preaching, he was sowing a former rain to them, and they rejected it. Now, how did they reject it? What was he enlightening the people with? The scripture said in the 29th verse, the baptism of John the common people accepted. And now we see in the 30th verse it says they rejected his message not being baptized. So the simplicity of his message started with the baptism. And the religious people, what? They rejected the baptism. Could not be any simpler. What did they reject? Did it say they didn't like his outfit? Did they say it was this or that? No. God counted them rejecting the message because it started at baptism. Your prophet brings it back around. He said someone would have to be absolutely insane not to see this in the Bible. He said there'd have to be something wrong with their mind if they can't see this in the Bible. Because it is so obviously placed there. There is no baptism even for their doctrine. There's no proof of any of their doctrine. So how are they rejecting a message? They're not being baptized. His preparation was to baptize the people. When John, when he seen the word coming, now remember, the word was opened up to John. The scripture said he saw the dove, and the dove came down. He said, "This is my beloved son, from whom I'm well pleased." In 1933, we see in the river down by Louisville, down in Jeffersonville, the voice come down and said, "As John foreran my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming."
That's right.
Wait a minute. His second coming. Where's the messenger? He's gone. God had to take John the Baptist out so the word could take preeminence.
That's right.
So God had to take the prophet out so the word could be made preeminent.
Yeah.
In a word born bride. Why? Because the word wanted to be in view.
Amen.
Not the prophet. Now notice this.
Lord.
He says there, and they reason with themselves. No, I'm in the wrong passage. Let me finish this out. In Luke 7:31, it said, "The Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like?"
My.
Notice. They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and say, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced." What's that saying? In that day when they had festivals and weddings, it said that the children, they would go out and they'd start piping in the streets and showing the joy and the great things that were going on. And the scripture says the people of this generation are like this. These are the ones that received it. They're of great joy. But they didn't have joy. Because what? The people rejected the festival. But notice here it says also, "We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept." So notice, you have made known two exactly opposite movings. One moving was a moving of mourning. And the other one was a moving of joy. Now notice the scripture interprets itself in the 33rd verse. It says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil." So here this prophet come forth. They called him a devil. Who? The forerunner. They called him a devil. He's got a demon.
Come on.
Now notice, they did not just call Christ Beelzebub. We now see the word says they called John the Baptist a devil.
Yeah.
Now notice this. What are we seeing here? It says, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. What is that? "We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept." He brought a message that was tearing out all the rough places. It was destroying all the hard spots. And the scripture says he come neither eating nor drinking. He come in a mourner's fashion. Repent. And now we see in the 34th verse, it says, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking."
Good,
now, the Word Himself is eating and drinking.
Amen.
"And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." So what? Now we see the piping of joy.
Yeah.
And first, when the mourner come, they called him a devil. And then when he come as Christ, excited, joyful, doing miracles, doing this, they call him a wine-bibbing gluttonous sinner. Friend of sinners. And we see how it evolved into Beelzebub. So we're looking at the scripture making very clear the latter and the former reign. The former reign showed what it would be like. Now notice when the prophet come forth, constantly fasting. Constantly, tearing them up.
Right.
And now the word is here. But the message was made known. Because why was the... You don't get it. Don't you understand that he was the restoration messenger? That's why his message come in morning.
Amen. Yeah.
But when the revealed word was made known to the people, what? Not that you're all, all happy, but you understand that the restored word brings the peace of the Holy Ghost back.
Amen.
It's supposed to bring the joy of the Holy Ghost back.
Amen.
Why? You should be like one at a festival or a wedding right now.
Yes.
What is it? It's the word coming of Christ and the bride. Don't you see how clear the scripture is? You say, oh, I don't think that's inspired. You better be careful what come from God and what didn't.
Amen.
Latter reign's over. It is? Why is this right in the book?
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
Notice as we're getting ready to close, he says here, just very quickly, in John, or Matthew. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go back just for time's sake. In Matthew 3, verse 4. The scripture says in the fourth verse that the same John had his raiment of camel hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. I don't know if I should say that. Sweet as honey. When he ate it, it's bitter to his stomach. Then went, what do you think a locust tastes like? I've heard. I never tasted them because... I ain't man enough to do it. I ain't hungry enough to do it. I'm looking for the spoken word. And then went out to him, Jerusalem, Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan in death, confessing their sins. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I don't need to fully go into this because we understand how the rebuke of organization come in this day. But notice it says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. What are they saying? They said, we have God in this day. We've got God. Remember your prophet, he used the analogy of his daughters, Sarah and Rebecca, how it was Rebecca come out first, she was the older, and she come and sat on his lap, she said, and then little Sarah comes run out, she said, I got all daddy. And then daddy looked at Sarah and said, come on, sit on the other knee. She come on and said, but I've got all daddy. Said, sister, you may have all of daddy. I'm going to say it wrong. But daddy's got all of me. Thank you. Boy, some saints out there. But you know the type. You heard Brother Brooks and even Brother Randy, they come up with the same type and they weren't even at the same place. That it was a type of the organization of the church saying that they had all of God. But it was the young church rising up. Amen. The young bride rising up. And God had all of them.
Yes.
Now notice. That's what John the Baptist is doing. Say, you think you got God as your back? Don't do it. So notice. Except for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. 10th verse. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now is the season of judgment. Oh, that's my notes. Did you get that? Boy. So notice. What was it when they rejected his message? There was only judgment to come. Third pole judgment. Now, I want us to catch this very, very closely in this scripture very quick here. It says here in the 11th verse, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But notice, we're going from forerunner to word coming. It says, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I.
Amen.
Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
What is the restoration of the word? Is it to leave you back there? Or is it to take you higher?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
That's the whole point of all this. This is a message to the Word and to the Bride. From the Word to the Bride. About the Word and the Bride.
Amen.
The forerunner sowed the message of the Holy Ghost. But it was in the shards of Pentecost. But now that the word has been restored, it is actually to bring the way of the person himself to the bride.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Good.
Meaning what? Exactly what happened with John the Baptist. It's happening to you. He brought them to the water. But because the word has been sown, a greater pouring out. It's coming to you. Now, we get that, don't we? You better be hoping for that. Because if you're expecting to go out with what you got, there's something wrong with you. Now notice this 12th verse. It says, who's it talking about? Christ. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
The Word Himself. Says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor.
Amen.
Gather his wheat into the garner.
Amen.
I hear the gospel combine coming through. And now he's saying that the first word coming was going to do that. And we see in the prophet's message that he said he heard the gospel combine coming down. Because what? The message is binding the tares.
Amen.
But it's gathering the wheat.
Yeah.
And this is fulfilled by the word coming of Christ.
Amen.
In the bride too.
Yes, sir. Come on, brother. Come on.
Who's God sowing the message with right now? With you.
Amen.
Amen. Good, brother.
Who's showing? Who's making manifest the word right now?
Come on,
you're the only ones.
That's right.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? The bride is the only people doing that. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is amazing.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Now, you went long on the songs, brother. It's his fault. But notice very quickly here. It says very quickly here. Come number 5:10. Let me go one more place. Because understand what was happening here. Because who was the messenger that we're looking for now? We are the forerunner, pointed them to Christ. And Christ had to manifest what? Mount Transfiguration. The perfection of the Word in flesh. And now, that's what we see. That's why we read Matthew 17, 1 through 5. The whole point of Mount Transfiguration was to show that the Spirit had to fully control Christ. And when it fully controlled Him in His flesh, in the 5th verse in Matthew 17, 5, it says, while yet He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. So what? It made the path easy for the Word. The forerunner did. And the Word could go on to the full adoption. Hear ye Him. Okay? So, we see, if that makes sense, what is the point of that? Remember, in Matthew it said after 6 days. In Luke 9 it says it came to pass about 8 days. And it speaks of the same passage, which is showing a type getting ready to go into the 8th day. Or eternity. What day and age is that for? For this day and age. Getting ready to go into eternity, the bride, or the Word coming of Christ in bride form, has to come to a Mount Transfiguration showdown. Which is what? Hear ye Him. You want Jesus to come back that and hear and be that? He's not supposed to be that. You're supposed to be that.
Amen.
Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him.
Amen.
Now, this is very interesting. Because I want us to see very quickly here. So we understand how this is all tying in with us now. Now we're seeing, okay, I've got to come and I've got to follow through this Mount Transfiguration. Why? So then I can get to Mount Zion. The Mount Zion showdown is, your prophet called the Mount Zion Rapture. So you have to have the Mount Transfiguration to the Mount Zion showdowns. You have to come to full adoption, which is what you're doing right now. We should be. God help us, Lord. But notice very quickly here. The word for transfiguration is only used 4 times in the whole New Testament. And the word for transfiguration is metamorpho, or metamorphosis, which is a change. It's a metamorphosis. We're like a butterfly going through a stage. And now we see it says that Christ was transfigured, or He was changed. Your prophet said He was changed into His glorified state. Which was what? What it was literally showing was that Christ was in condition to be changed at adoption. But the Mount Zion had to transpire. Well, it was a type for you. This is what you are. The path has been made straight. The way has been made easy for royalty. This is the whole point of all this. I hope you're not missing it. Well, what are you saying, brother? Okay. It is the rising of the sun, 3:15. It says, now look at the transfiguration. We was everyone represented there. There was the living saints that had been raptured. There was Elijah standing there, who stood Moses. The dead saints represent. Also, both of them had quickening power. Whether one died and the other didn't die, they're all there. Now notice this. It says, notice, oh, look, what we are now seeing in these last days. The same thing that he promised in John 14, 12. Now look, certainly people say, you claim to have power. No, no, no. We're just like them at Mount Transfiguration.
Amen.
Now remember, he was the wave sheaf. He was the first. Remember, every messenger shone forth the fruit of what the church was supposed to be.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So notice, we're just like them at Mount Transfiguration. See, certainly, we do not claim power, but we was like they was on the Mount Transfiguration. They wasn't saying, Moses say, see who? See who I am? The disciples say, see who I am? See who I am? You know what happened? Notice, they seen Jesus glorified.
Right. Amen.
What was
Amen.
The Mount Transfiguration showdown? You see, I will see a difference in the bride.
Yeah. Amen.
Look at me. Look at me. But he said that look, they seen Jesus glorified. Now see, that's all they wanted to see represented. Jesus glorified. That's all they wanted to see was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is the Mount Transfiguration showdown.
Yeah.
So when God can look at you and say, hear ye him. Hear who? Hear you? Let's continue. Oh, so it is today, 318, brother. We don't try to be some big person. We don't care what people say about us. Our name ain't nothing. It's his name. Our life, it's nothing. It's his life. It's his power, not our power. And there's only one thing that we love to do is to see him glorified. Now notice, it is the rising of the sun in 65 when he talks about the wave sheaf. And he says, continuing, and how can it be when he's glorified in us by his resurrection that's in us? We see him represented again as he was today.
Amen.
Where's Mount Transfiguration? Why do you have to look in the scripture and see that it has to come down, that you want so much of nothing to do with yourself?
Right.
It must be Jesus glorified. Well, that's our problem. We still have too much of ourselves. When he is glorified in us. So where is the transfiguration here? When he is glorified in you. When he is fully glorified in you. You found your transfiguration. Which, what? Brings you to the Mount Zion. Which is when Jesus shows. Shows his power between the true and the false vine. We read that in the quote.
Right. Amen.
Said Jesus will be that messenger. So what now? We're just like Christ. We're playing the part, dying to ourselves. Not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
Okay. Very quickly here. 319. Did you get that? See, our desire is not to be glorified. Now look at how far he's playing this thing out. He said, our desire is not some big name. Our desire is not boost some church or make more in the Sunday school or try to bring in hog tie, push in, offer a picnic party or bring stars, buttons, or something else like that.
Amen.
Did you just see what he said?
Amen.
Our desire is not some big name, doing everything to be seen or doing something to get any credit. He's talking about taking the Mount Transfiguration showdown. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see him glorified. Glorified. What? Not with self-pride, but in us, our lives. To prove he is alive and living in us. If I can get myself out of the way, so when William Branham not even thought of, and you not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us, see him? That's our desire. That gives us the quickening power.
Amen.
See the problem? I found the problem. I found it. You know it's the truth. I know it's the truth. That's why I got my hand up. I ain't doing this for a joke. And it gives us joy to know that we are with him, both flesh and bone of him, being the bride of him, and seeing his name vindicated, methods, proving in us that he's now risen from the dead. Well, don't you see the wave sheaf type now? He was showing us what we would have to go through by his own life. Just like Christ, by his own life. You see, why did God have to send a Messiah sign? Because he wanted to make everything smooth for you. You didn't have to come up with a type and say, okay, I got to look like this word. God's shown it to you so plainly, so obviously, that just like royalty, you're able to walk through it.
Amen.
Now, very quickly, I'm just like Gabe Smith, a masterpiece preacher, going past nine. God, forgive me. As we close, we've shown you that there's four scriptures that had the word metamorpho or metamorphosis in them. Now, two of them are the transfiguration of Christ. The third one is Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Who? The fulfilling of transfiguration is in you. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transfiguration, transforming you. Acceptable, perfect will of God. It's talking about perfection.
That's right, brother.
Lastly, almost done. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with opening face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, metamorpho, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
Transfigured Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then at the end of the ministry, hear ye him.
Amen.
Hear you fighting the same thing. Changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Transformed even into his perfect, acceptable will.
Amen.
What's going on? Scripture's plain. The problem is, the revelation has to strike. Your royalty, let's stand. I pray you receive the word tonight. Do you see how simple this is? I know that I just went through a lot. But I wanted to make known to you that this is where you are at. If you're not seeing what you want to see, okay, you're still fighting into Mount Transfiguration. The prophet came and sowed the former rain. The word come, but we see the latter rain moving into effect. And what? It's finalized by the transfiguration. Hear ye him. It's your adoption. We know the fullness of adoption is the redemption of your body to wit. But the spirit of adoption is bringing you into. What is the spirit of adoption? It's the Holy Ghost. Bringing you into the perfect will of God, which is a metamorphosis affecting your life right now. So, is the word right? Is the word wrong? Is this plain? Could this be more obvious? What am I going to do when I get to Laodicea? I don't know. I'm waiting on God. But you know what? Here in Pergamos, we find God giving you a message about the Word and the Bride. And here we see yourself made known. Do we have to wonder if a move is coming? The prophet thought the move would come there because he thought the Word was fully sowed. He said, it's here now. But what he didn't realize is the Word had not been received.
Amen.
The people had not been there yet. Remember very quickly, what? From Moses, your prophet said, he said it had to be the right Pharaoh at the right time with the right Moses at the right time.
Amen.
You know what I don't understand? Because it said there that Moses had to have the right gifts to go into Egypt. And the whole time he was in the wilderness, God was bringing forth them gifts. But you know what my problem is? Why I don't understand that is? Because the only thing that I see is Moses losing all his own gifts. The only gifts he was picking up was a rod and the ability to know he had no ability at all.
Amen.
I don't know. It don't make sense to me. That's the only thing I can understand. But here you are. The Word's been sown. The Spirit's going to move. It's supposed to move back there. He thought it was going to move. But it wasn't time because there wasn't the right people to accept the right Word in the right time. There wasn't the right Pharaoh that was there. There would come another with even more poor caliber than the one they had back there. Well, you wait. You get another one. You just watch. If God tarry, oh, Lord Jesus, let this be the one. But it's all building for you. Don't you understand? You don't even have to wear a martyr's crown. Why? He said the bride is not going to have a martyr's crown this day. He said God has already found grace. She's already found grace in his eyes. Here we are. The path has been prepared for royalty. You are royalty. You are the Word born bride that was being pointed to. Act like that royalty. Act like it's your memorial. He prepared the way, but it's your memorial.
Amen. Come on, come on. Amen.
This was the bride that overcome Laodicea. Amen. They didn't overcome it back there. The full overcoming is right now.
Amen.
It's your time. It's your season.
Yeah.
Why do you think we have to quicken to the work? Why do you think we got to get this thing done? This is part of the plan.
Amen.
Before we even thought of flipping this church around, a brother already had a dream this was flipped.
Right. Amen.
You know what that tells me? That's part of the Word plan.
Amen.
Quicken to the work. What can I do?
Amen.
What can't you do? But you see what it is? Say we need prayer meetings. Yes, we need prayer meetings. You should be praying every day at home.
Amen.
But what about this? This is God's work too. God help me. This is just coming to me, okay? My permit's getting ready to go out. It's almost been a year. But you know what? This is part of the Word. Don't you understand that? This is part of the Word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, I'm part of the Word. This is too.
Come on. Amen, brother. Right on, brother. Come on. Amen.
God help me. I just want more, God, don't you? You know where you're at anyway. Fight for the work. Fight for the Word. Fight. If we ever found something to press into, let it be now. God, let us press. God, let us fight. Because the Word has revealed who you are. You love God. I ain't preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself.
Amen.
God help me. Let's bow our heads. No need of hands going up. If you felt like God was speaking to you tonight, and you have identified yourself by this revelation, say, God, the whole time this forerunner was pointing to a Word-born bride, God, I'm supposed to be that word-born bride. I am that word-born bride. But God, the path has been made plain, God. The path has been made straight for time and for ease, God. And look at us dragging this thing out. God, get us back in line, Lord. Help us, God. We don't want to be afraid of anything or do anything that's short of this word. Forgive us for our inabilities. Forgive us for our slackness, God. And Lord, let us move into this word. God, help us, Lord. And Lord, forgive me as a pastor of this church. Help me to do more, Lord. Help me, God, I need your help. Forgive me, God, for allowing things to tear me down, God, to hold me back, allowing the devil to stop me short, Lord, when every time I should be overcoming because the path has been made plain. The path was made of ease and straight for me, just like it's made straight for this church. Every individual here, we have no excuse. Someone did all the hard work for us so that it could be our memorial. God, quicken this word to us, God. Forgive us, Lord. I love your word more right now than I ever have, God. I love it more every time I dig into it, God. Lord, bring it out of this church. Bring it out of your bride, God. For the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You love God? You see, this revelation is great. But don't, I hope you can see just like me. What a rebuke. Word-born bride. It's all pointing to you. You need the word. Thank God, he said once more. Because we can identify with that word. Amen. I can see where I've been, what I've come to, and all I can see is God once more. Once more, God. Shake the heavens once more, God. Shake this country once more with this bride, God. Help us, Lord. I know I was long. It's the longest I've been in a long time. But God, help us receive this word. God, help us. We are the revival, God. Help us. Amen. I can't get the song out of my head. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. We cast out our idols, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Lord, give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts. We bow our hearts. Hallelujah. We bend our knees.
From evil things, oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Just
Sing that song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 Reason One. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worships His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worships His holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing this song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening, when it comes, bless the Lord, oh my soul, yes, oh my soul, worships His holy name, His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, worships His holy name. You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the God a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, This is the Evening Time. Amen. How many knows this is the evening time? Amen. Amen. We got to know that we know that we know. Amen.
And this is the evening time.
that hath an ear to hear the evening.